Amen, saints. I'm glad I can be with you tonight. My name is Dennis Lowen. I'm from Montreal, and I'm here to gain Christ with you. I'm here to learn with you and enjoy this wonderful Christ. Tonight, we're starting with the conference, Christ's Deep Longing and Good Pleasure. Does everybody have an outline? If not, you can raise your hand. The ushers will get you one, but does everyone have one? Can we read this title together? Brothers.
Christ's deep longing and good pleasure.
Sisters.
Christ's deep longing and good pleasure.
Christ's deep longing and good pleasure.
Amen.
What is Christ's deep longing? The church. Amen. What is Christ's good pleasure? The church. So we're going to spend all day tomorrow, on this subject of Christ's deep longing and good pleasure. Before we start, I wanted to ask a couple questions, maybe to help us open up and get into the burden of this time. And maybe you can write them down or ask yourself these questions. What is God's heart's desire? One question. How is your relationship with the Lord? Is it good, bad, mediocre? How is your personal relationship with the Lord? Third question. Are you in love with the Lord? I put beside these questions yes or no. So you can. I won't ask you for your answer, but are you in love with the Lord? Does your relationship with the Lord need to be upgraded? I was asking myself, my relationship needs to be upgraded. Have you seen the divine romance in the Bible? Maybe this is a brand new topic for you, the divine romance. But that's what we're going to get into this weekend. So I examine myself, and most of these questions I realize I'm short. Are you short? So we need to be open to the Lord. He would draw us. He would attract us. He would woo us. Maybe I could start with a short testimony. Next week I'll be married for 12 years. 12 years. 2006. 12 years. I still remember the days of courting my wife. That memory never goes away. Well, when I first met her walking into a Lord's table meeting, that was my first seeing of her, and I was, Lord, who is this? I didn't arrange this. The Lord arranged for her to be there. But that was at first sight, you know. I don't really believe in love at first sight. But the Lord, right away, within me, there was something. What about this one? Well, it took quite a while to get to know this person. But you know what? The first thing within me, I wanted to spend time with the person. I was attracted because, you know, it's normal to be attracted to someone. It's very normal. I know a lot of you are single, but tonight I don't want to talk about falling in love with another person here except the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, but I had to spend a lot of time with her. You know, we would sneak away to coffee shops. We just find time to be together and get to know one another. Well, the Lord, in the same way, we have to see how precious the Lord is. How can you love someone if you don't know how precious He is? Right? That's why if the Lord could open up His heart to us. I was on a metro today and I was reminded of this verse in Luke. This was when Luke 24, the disciples were kind of going astray, and the Lord appears to them and walks with them, and then He opens the whole scriptures to them and shows them everything concerning Him in the Bible. And then what was their response? Luke 24, 32. They said to one another, "Was not our heart burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, and while He was opening to us the scriptures?" I would pray the Lord would burn within you. As we read these verses, these are for you. This is God's love letter to you. This is, we need to fall in love with the Lord. So why don't we start? Can we read some verses? Because we want to open the scriptures and the Lord would speak to your heart. So open your Bibles. We're going to take turns, okay? Message one is on the divine romance. So brothers, whoever has it, Genesis 2:18. If you have it, stand up and read it. Genesis and sisters, you can get ready. Isaiah 54:5. It's not good for man to be alone. You know what God was saying? It's not good for me to be alone. I need a counterpart. That's his deep longing. Sisters, Isaiah 54. Your maker is your husband. Amen. Together, 2 Corinthians 11:2. I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God. I betroth you to one husband, present you as a pure virgin to Christ. God is jealous over you. Over what? He wants to gain you. He wants to gain your love for him. Oh, Lord Jesus, me and my wife, to continue a little bit, I'm jealous over her. And if anybody touches my wife, you're in trouble. Because that is my wife. The same with the Lord. You know, in Quebec, you're required to take the last name of the province, right? Or your maiden name. So until we came here, my wife was Heidi Lowen. Now the license says Heidi Bailey. So she has another name. But legally, we have to do that. But in reality, we only should have one name, which is Christ. He is our husband. But so many times, we take other names. We love, meaning you love other things more than the Lord. The Lord is not first in our heart. I'll just read the next one. Revelation 21:9 says, and one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. The Lord is waiting. Here the angels are, come, come and see. The wife has made herself ready. So tonight we're getting ready to meet the Lord. And lastly, Lord Jesus. Prepared. I was really touched with that word. Prepared as a bride. So that was 9. So verse 2 says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? By faith we say amen. But we realize we need much more preparing. Later on in the message, we'll talk about how he washes us. Message 5 or 4, right? How we're being sanctified through the washing of the word. Well, if you want to be ready to meet the Lord, you need to be mature. The Lord is not going to marry, you know, an infant. He's not going to marry someone who's just born again. He's going to be marrying a bride that is prepared. So my wife had to reach a certain age before we got married. And when we met, we were too young, so we had to wait. Right? We had to wait until I was even prepared. I had to get a job, I had things prepared, so I could support her. Well, this is outwardly, I had to prepare myself. But more than that, the Lord wants to prepare us. So let's go with Rome number 1. Together. The Bible is a romance in the most holy sense. Of a universal couple, God in Christ as the bridegroom, God's redeemed people as the bride. So the Bible is a romance. This here is a love letter to you in the most pure and holy sense. This whole weekend, we're going to go from Genesis to Ephesians to Revelation. We'll show you how this romance is happening, how we will fall in love with the Lord. John 3:29 says, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices with joy because of the bridegroom's voice. This joy of mine, therefore, is made full." Who is your bridegroom? I'm very strong. Who is going to be your bridegroom?
Christ.
He is the bridegroom, and we are his bride. So A says, this holy romance is repeatedly revealed throughout the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we see that God loves his people as a bridegroom loves his bride and desires to have a married life with his chosen people. You know, this verse, we read Isaiah 54:5, your maker is your husband. All of us, I think we fear God, right? God Almighty, right? We fear him. Maybe we died bound to worship him. But what if I met my wife Heidi and she just came down? Worship, worship. Do you think I'd be satisfied? What do you think? You know, I worship you. I honor you. I respect you. I obey you. No. I want her to love me. The same with the Lord. He is God, the Creator, but he wants to be your husband. He is your maker. This is why he made you. This is Christ's deep longing.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I read all these verses to you, but this is too much. So, secondly, the Old Testament is also a prediction of the church, not in plain words, but in types, figures, and shadows. If you go to Ruth, I was reading that footnote earlier. My third daughter is named Naomi. So she's the mother of Ruth. If you want to look at a very good footnote, it's footnote Ruth 1:4, note 2. There it shows you four types of how the church, how Ruth is a type of the church. I don't have time to get into it, but so many types in the Old Testament that shows us pictures, right, of Christ and the church. So all the Adam and Eve, we'll get into that later on. There's so many types that show us Christ and the church. So can brothers read B, 1B? Sisters, 1. I was like reading this. Every gospel shows Christ as a bridegroom. It's not just once. Every gospel shows him as a bridegroom. Let me read it to you. Matthew 9:15. Jesus said to them, "The sons of the bride chamber cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Today we are longing to meet our bridegroom. Mark 2:19, Jesus said to them, "The sons of the bride chamber cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? For as long as the time as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." And Luke again, he's again called the bridegroom. And in John, the verse I read earlier. So every gospel talks about the Lord as a bridegroom. So why are we religious Christians thinking we need to do something for God? We need to love him. I believe everyone here has believed in the Lord. What was your first instinct after saying, "Lord Jesus, come into me"? What was your first response? Was that your first response? That's wonderful. Who had a response that, "Lord, I believe you, and now I'm going to do something for you"? Raise your hand. Who had a response? "I'm going to do something for God." If you're honest with yourself, many of us, many Christians are like this. I believe you. I thank you for saving me. So now I'm going to do something. But Brother Lee says, that's to be a religious Christian. The Lord does not want you to do something for him. He wants you to love him. Just like my wife. I don't want her to do something for me. I wanted her to love me. So the Lord is waiting for you to pour out your love to him. All right. Number two. I read one already, right? So B2 says, in the epistles, Christ and the church are portrayed as a husband and wife. Can we read these verses in Ephesians? Why don't we alternate? Ephesians 5:25, and we can alternate again. All right, brothers, ready? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Sisters. Brothers, he might present the church to himself glorious. Wrinkle any such thing. Nourishes and cherishes, even as Christ also the church. A man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, two shall become one flesh. This is really a mystery how a husband and a wife can become one. But here he speaks about Christ and the church. How can, you know, even me and my wife, we've married 12 years, how can we become one? The only way is one person has to die. Right? Unless I take her as my person or she takes me as her person, you don't become one flesh. We both have our own life. And for us to become one, we need to take each other's person. Actually, we need to be one with Christ. We need to become Christ. That means we need to become one with the Lord. So we need to leave our old man behind and become one with Christ. He is going to be our husband, our bridegroom. So how are we going to become one with Christ? I'll give you a little secret to marriage. It is to love him. It is to love her. You want to become one with Christ? You need to love him. Nothing but love keeps us in a proper relationship with the Lord. Let's all say, Lord Jesus, we love you. Brothers. Sisters. Together. Lord Jesus, we love you. You think I only say it when I feel like it? No. We tell the Lord we love him all the time. It doesn't matter how you feel. That's just a reality. You love the Lord. Why? Because he first loved you. Lord Jesus. I was kind of blown away when I was getting into this. I was like, Lord, how can I do this? How can I become the bride? How can I match him? How can I become this? It's just actually very simple. We just need to love him. Really, what you love, you know, is what you are. So if you love hockey, you will become hockey. I know Kerwin could tell me who won last night. The Jets, right? Who won? They lost. Because part of his being, right, he loves hockey. Many of us have things we love. And I ask you, what is the latest TV show you're going to know? Why? Because you love that, and that just comes out of you. So instead of trying not to love hockey, not to love this drama, that drama, I tried for so long to stop loving hockey. You know, I used to spend hours just watching it, every night watching it. And after every season, I was depressed and disappointed. It's terrible. And I was like, what am I doing? Every year it's the same. The Flames always lose. One time they got to game 7. But you know what? I just had to spend more time with the Lord. I had to love the Lord. I couldn't help myself from loving hockey. I just had to love the Lord. Draw close to Him. Let Him kiss you. And you never get disappointed. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's go on to the sisters. Read C. C, right? I think we missed 3. So B3. And so here is a very good footnote under Revelation 19:7. Could we read that? Revelation 19. So it's verse 7 and footnote 2. Maybe anybody stand up. You can read it to us. So the 19:7, note 2. Yeah. Amen. Read that sentence again. The readiness.
The readiness of the bride depends on the maturity in life, how to be overcome.
Amen. Yes. Amen. So the readiness of the bride depends on the maturity and life of the overcomers. We sang that song, "Come, Lord Jesus." But you know what the Lord might say? Are you mature in life? Honestly, we should pray, "Lord, come, Lord Jesus." But He may say, "Are you ready?" A college student, a friend of mine in engineering when I was a student, he asked me one day, he's a seeking believer, he was like, "Are you ready to meet the Lord?" And I wasn't so sure if I was ready. He's like, "Well, I'm ready. No matter what, I'm ready to meet the Lord." But in his living, it didn't seem like he was ready. His being was consumed with motorbikes and racing and, you know, movies and, you know, all the latest rap music. That was his being. But he says, "I'm ready to meet the Lord." But in me, I was like, I need to be mature in life. If you're not mature, we're not ready to meet the Lord. So today, we are still in the courting stages. The Lord is still saying, "Draw me." He's still drawing us to make us ready. You know, the wedding feast has not come. But it is coming. The wedding feast is coming. Will you be ready or not? Let's go on. See, brothers. Throughout the Father, the Son, through all the centuries, the triune God has been working. I thought it seemed like eternity until I finally could marry my wife, you know. It seemed like such a long time, that 1 year, a year and a half of just, but you know how long the Lord's been waiting? Over 2,000 years. You think it's eternity to wait 1 year, 2 year until you finish college, and, you know, you think it's eternity, right? The Lord's been waiting much longer. He is waiting for you to be ready. The reason the Lord has not returned is because the bride is not ready. So at the beginning of the Bible, God is looking for a counterpart. But at the end of the Bible, he is no longer alone. He is with his bride. This is God's eternal purpose. I just wanted to read a little bit from the recent iteral I was on knowing the significance of loving the Lord. It says here, the best way to express our love toward the Lord is to say, Lord Jesus, I open to you. Write this down. Lord Jesus, I open to you. Take full possession of me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I present myself to you. I am open to you. Possess me more and more until you reach every part of my being and make your home in me. We got to start every day with the Lord. We just open just as we are. Lord, possess me. Gain my love today. Here's where the brothers shared in Ephesians 3:16 that we're rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 1:4, he chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish. What? In love. He chose you in love. What else? You know, why else would he die for you? Why else would he go through all this process just to be able to gain you back? What a man we have. What a Lord we have. He chose us before I was born, before you were born, in love. God is drawing you. He wants to fall in love with you. So lastly, the Bible is a romantic book. And our relationship with the Lord should become more and more romantic. Wherever you're at, you know, you feel like you don't love the Lord, say to the Lord, Lord, I don't love you, but draw me. Lord, I love you so much, but you're always deeper. You know, the love we had at first sight, you know, the love we had when we first married, that's kind of a superficial love, actually. But over time, it gets deeper and deeper. To the point, the love where you gave yourself up, right? That's the love Christ loved the church. He died for the church. So I'm exposed every time when my love is limited. It's the love that dies for the church. So unless I'm on the cross, I'm not qualified to love my wife. So I need to give myself up. But I can't do it. But the Lord died for me. He gave himself up for me. So it's not my love we're talking about. It's not a natural love. This is a divine, eternal love. So if you want to upgrade your relationship with the Lord, I'll give you three pointers or three things I was considering. There's many ways, and David will share some more. But just practice saying every day, Lord Jesus, I love you. Wake up in the morning. Lord, I love you. Go to eat before breakfast. Lord, I love you. You just keep saying it. It's not so hard. The more you do this, you'll fall in love with the Lord. Another one is pray, read his word. This is a love letter to you. So what are we going to do? We pray it. Pray it back to him. And a good place to start is Song of Songs. He'll share about Song of Songs. Lastly, spend time with him. This is the one that got me the most. How much time do we spend with the Lord? This is like a temperature reader. We say we love the Lord, but then we don't spend time. It was a while ago. I exposed myself. I told my wife, you're the most important person in my life. And she's like, no, I'm not. You know why she said that? Because I was spending a lot of time with other people beside her. So I was exposed. Lord Jesus, I need to spend more time. The same way with the Lord. We need to spend more time with the Lord. We say we love the Lord, but if we don't give him time, how can he love us?
Jesus. We love you, Lord. I want to read from a portion from a book that I highly recommend. Maybe you could read it after this conference. Life and Building as Portrayed in the Song of Songs. Brothers and sisters, I love this book and I love this ministry because it's a betrothing ministry. Amen? You know, let me read this portion. According to the Bible, our relationship to the Lord is likened to a marriage. We are His bride and He is our groom. A bride and groom must have love. If a marriage lacks love, then that marriage will have difficulties. It is impossible to have a genuine marriage without love. Likewise, our relationship with the Lord is like a marriage. And this marriage depends upon love. Okay. There is no problem on the Lord's side, for He certainly loves us. Saints, the Lord loves us. He not only loves us because we're part of, you know, in John it says, "For God so loved the world." We can understand that. We feel part of the human race. Yes, God must love me. I'm one among those billions. Ephesians 5, we can also readily understand. For God so loved the church. Right? Christ so loved the church. We're regenerated believers. It's easy to realize we're part of the church. But how about the second half of Galatians 2 and 2:20? We know the first part. But how about, why did Paul add that last part? He loved me and gave himself up for me. God loves you. God loves me. Personally, affectionately, intimately. This is our burden in this message. That we would realize and we would let the Lord love us. Saints, there's no problem on the Lord's side, but the problem is on our side. Do we love the Lord Jesus? Now listen to this. When someone mentions the name of Jesus, do we have a sweet feeling within? Just mentions the name of Jesus. Oh, we practice calling on the Lord. But saints, when we hear the name of the Lord, is there a sweet, fragrant, loving sense within? Whenever we think even a little about Him, even just think, are we attracted to Him? This is not the love between father and son or daughter. This is not the love between a friend. This is the love between bride and bridegroom. And this is the love that the Lord wants to have with us individually, one-on-one, personally and affectionately. So I also will share a little bit about how my wife and I met. I was crazy for her. The first time I saw her. You know, when I won't say too much. I was so crazy about her that when she rejected me, I didn't realize it was a rejection. When we love someone, we're beside ourselves. We're not logical. She was telling me no, and I was hearing yes. This is to be in love. Are we, you know, I'm here just as a learner too. I was so exposed preparing for this message. Saints, do we love the Lord? Do we love Him in this way? You know, when we read the Old Testament, the children of Israel were terrible, especially when they're in the wilderness. They're murmuring, they're complaining. But the Lord says in Jeremiah, I remember the bridal days of your love. It's like He was blind. What bridal days. It didn't seem like the children of Israel loved the Lord all that much. Right? They were asking for quails, and they were doing this and that and rebelling. But the Lord was blind with love. He said, I remember the bridal days. Right? That's the courting days. He wants to have such an intimate and affectionate love with you. Oh, Lord Jesus. So we come to the Song of Songs. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. The Song of Songs is a marvelous and vivid portrait in poetic form of the bridal love between Christ as the bridegroom, as his bride. Amen. Let's read Song of Songs 1, 2 to 4 all together. And as we're reading it, just pray to the Lord. Oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Amen. 2 to 4. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Have a pleasant fragrance. Your name is like ointment poured forth. Draw me, we will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. Amen. So we come to A. This is just verse 2. Oh, this lover has been attracted by the beloved. You know, here she says, let him. Who's him? Why didn't she say, let Solomon? Or let the king? But she says, let him. Because to her, there's only one him in this whole universe. Let him. And then kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Not just one kiss. But she wants many kisses. You know, maybe it's easier for the sisters to receive this kind of message. Brothers, in the eyes of the Lord, we are the bride. We're not the macho men. Before the Lord, in our personal time in the morning, we need to be his bride. We need to tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you. Kiss me, Lord, with the kisses of your mouth. Lord, one kiss is not enough. Kiss me with your mouth. You know, the mouth is very small for most of us. We can only kiss one person at a time. Right? This is, I hope so. This is personal. This is personal. And we can really touch the lover's desire and seeking. Lord, let him kiss me. Let him kiss me. Every morning we need to be kissed by the Lord. Right? When I wake up, I'm not that pleasant. My wife can testify. I'm hungry, I'm tired. Oh, Lord Jesus. But I say, Lord Jesus, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. Right? I need that morning time with him. Because there he draws me. You can sense the yearning in the seeker in these verses. Do we have a yearning for the Lord's kisses? Do we have a longing in our heart? Right, we wake up and it's just, oh, where's my beloved? I need to be kissed. Do you anticipate the dawn? Now you can realize why the psalmist said that. I anticipated the dawn. Why? Because that psalmist had a loving relationship with the Lord. When we fall in love with the Lord, more and more, I appreciated that point that Dennis ended with. As Christians, we need to become more and more romantic with the Lord. As we do this, everything in our Christian life falls into place. Why do we have morning revival? Is it just something that we do in the morning because we're Christian? Oh, now I'm a believer, and so in the morning I need to do this. Oh, that's not that sweet. It's not religious duty. but it's, Lord, I'm captured by thy beauty. Lord, I want to know you. A brand new day to know you. What's personal time? That's a date with the Lord. Lord, let's go on a date. Right? Richard knows all about this. I think Richard should be giving this message. Anyway. Lord, I want to go on a date with you. Right? Why do we read the word? Oh, how can I find out more about my lovely Lord Jesus? Come to the word. Lord, speak to me personally in the word. If we love the Lord, this is the proper way, the only way to be in a proper relationship with him. Give yourself to love the Lord. No other way is so safe, so prevailing, so full of enjoyment. I hope we realize this. The only way we can be saved from being a religious Christian is by being a romantic Christian. Amen. One, this indicates that the very Christ in whom we believe is personal and affectionate toward us. Wow. And that every believer's relationship with Christ must be personal and affectionate. There's a wonderful definition. Well, let me read two first. After believing in Christ to receive him as the divine life, we need to love Christ in a personal and affectionate way that we may pursue him and enjoy him as our satisfaction. I've been considering, why is it so hard for us to pursue the Lord and to drink the Lord? We know he's the living water. We know he's the bread of life. We can sing the songs, we can pray, read, and memorize the verses, but I found it's because I don't love him. If you love him, you'll never want to be apart from him. Okay, another quick testimony. My wife and I, when we were courting, we had to be on two different coasts, right? The East Coast and the West Coast. And there was a three-hour time difference. And that three-hour time difference, I feel, is worse than an eight-hour time difference. By the time she's done with her work and from the meeting comes home, it's about 9 o'clock. That's midnight for me, right? Well, guess what, brothers? Was I tired? Was I complaining? No, I was just staring at my phone. When's she going to text me and say, I'm ready for the call? We had a call every day, every night, right? And I thought that wasn't enough. I thought three times a day. Your lunch break, your morning, just 5 seconds. Okay, so I made myself available. And there was this one time I told the Lord, Lord, I'm so available for her, but I don't feel like she's taking full advantage of my availability. Well, guess what the Lord said? The Lord said, I'm so available to you. How much do you take advantage of that? The doctrines, he went through the process. Yes, we need to know the truth. But what is the Lord saying when he says, when we sing that song, Lord, I admire, it's not admire, I enjoy thy marvelous availability. That means the Lord is saying, why did he go through that process? It's so that he could be 24/7 available to us. Every moment. Why is it that whenever we turn to him, it's like he's right there, waiting for you to turn? It's because he's been longing for that time. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we sympathize with our bridegroom, right? He's the all-inclusive spirit, ever fresh, so available and dear. Why? Because he loves us, and he wants us to love him. This is the secret to the Christian life. Oh, Lord Jesus, so I was exposed a lot during my courtship. Our yearning to be kissed by Christ is a response to Christ's cheering love, which is better than wine, and his charming name, which is like ointment poured forth. You know, there's this footnote. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, to love God, who knows this? Whoever knows it can say it with me. To love God means to set our entire being, spirit, soul, and body, with the heart, soul, mind, and strength. Absolutely on Him. That is to let our entire being be occupied by Him and lost in Him so that He becomes everything to us and we are one with Him practically in our daily life. Why did the Lord have this verse in Mark 12:30 as the top commandment, right? And you shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart and your whole soul and from your whole mind and from your whole strength. Do you sense the Lord's yearning for us? He didn't say just a part of your heart. He wants the whole heart. I don't want just a part of my wife's heart. I don't want her to say, okay, 30% now is yours. I want the whole heart. The Lord wants our whole heart. He wants to make home in our heart. Right? Okay, B. Draw me. Let's read this together. Draw me. We will run after you. The King has brought me into His chambers. Amen. Draw me. Draw me. We will run after you. You know, there's a wonderful portion, and I think this will relate. I think we can relate to this. This is from a book called The Song of Songs and by Watchman Nee. He says on this verse, although we have the desire and willingness to pursue after Him. Saints, do we have a desire and willingness to pursue after Him? He's given us a new heart that loves Him, that desires Him. Okay, but I think we'll relate to this. We cannot help but feel a lack of strength for the pursuit, right? Isn't this our experience sometimes? There's other things drawing us, and we just feel, Lord, I feel so weak to pursue You. This strength for the pursuit is not a mighty power from the Spirit that is given once and for all. Rather, the Lord's own beauty and glory draws us. His drawing power is our pursuing power. It is the Lord who has to truly draw us. If the Lord has truly drawn us, it is very easy for us to pursue after Him. Saints, I'm reminded of this hymn, 431. And it says, Thy mighty love, O God, constraineth me. I have some encouraging news tonight. The lover in Song of Songs, and many lovers who have come before us, their testimony is not that, oh, I was just born with this loving capacity for God. Thank You, Lord. And so I love Him to the uttermost, and I gave up everything for Him. Right? Actually, their testimony is that His love constrains me. It's not that we're able to love the Lord, but it's that He draws us. He attracts us. Brothers, no one can resist Him. He's irresistible. His charming person. His fragrant name that's like ointment poured forth. No one can resist this one. He's the immense magnet that draws us. But we need to see His beauty. Once He reveals Himself to us, we cannot help but be attracted to Him. As some strong tide, it presseth on its way. You know, I encourage you, in the morning, maybe you can use this hymn to pray to the Lord. Lord, Your love, I want it to be the mighty love. Mighty love. Oh God, constraineth me. Lord, today, so many things are drawing at me. But I need Your love to constrain me as some strong tide presseth on its way. Have we experienced the Lord's love pressing on us, constraining us? seeking a channel. You know, the Lord is seeking a channel in us. In our self-bound soul, yearning to sweep all barriers away. This writer in the verse 2 is already defeated. Shall I not yield to that constraining power? Shall I not say, oh, tide of love, flow in? The testimony is not that this person is some special person, but they just saw the Lord. And their testimony is, I could not help but love Him. I yield, Lord. I'm in love with You. So what we can pray every day, 100 times a day, Lord Jesus, I love You. Lord Jesus, I love You. Lord Jesus, I love You. Unveil Your beauty to me. Show me the peerless worth. Show me Your shining face. I come to Thee, dear Lord, just as I am. My heart does thirst for Thee. I long to eat and drink, enjoy Thee, love Thee thoroughly. Wow. Don't you think if we gave the Lord this kind of opportunity and response, we would fall in love with Him? Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Draw me is personal. We want a drawing from the Lord that is His personal and affectionate doing. Just to strengthen what Dennis shared, you know, it's not that we try to stop playing hockey or watching hockey. Yeah, Curran took a bullet for all of us. We all have our hockey, right? But in Hebrews 12:2, there's a footnote on looking away. The wonderful Jesus who is enthroned in heaven and crowned with glory and honor is the greatest attraction in the universe. I can testify. We're here. There's some attractions. Not the greatest. Sorry. I didn't, you know, all these things. The food, it's good. I really like the food. I like food. But not the greatest. I know when I come back and try it again, it will be less enjoyable. This is just from experience. The greatest attraction in the universe is our Lord Jesus. He is like an immense magnet drawing all His seekers to Him. It is by being attracted by His charming beauty that we look away from all things other than Him. Without such a charming object, how could we look away from many distracting things on this earth? Saints, that verse, beholding and reflecting, what is that? That's love. He wants us to be face to face with Him. Kiss Him. Gaze on Him. Just say, Lord, I don't even have anything to say to You right now, but I just want to look at You. I want to gaze on You. I want to spend time with You. Lord, You speak to me. And even if You don't have anything to say to me, I still just love You. I just want to linger here in Your presence because I love You. I don't want You to do anything for me. I'm just here for You, Lord. We need this kind of seeking after Him, and we need to build up such a relationship with Him that is so personal and affectionate. Saints, let's give ourselves for the rest of our lives to build up this relationship, to cultivate this relationship, this romance with our Lord Jesus. As we pursue Christ, we are brought by Him into our spirit, His chambers, to have fellowship with Him. Where does this happen? In our spirit. That is His chambers. That's His bedroom. That's the most intimate place. Saints, let's have many affectionate, personal, private conversations with the Lord in our spirit. That no one else will know except us and our bridegroom. Let's read the focus all together. The Bible is a romance revealing that Christ, bride, and is working to gain her. We must respond to God's desire by loving Christ in a personal and affectionate way. We must respond. Saints, let's respond. Let's say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Starting from even tonight, tomorrow morning, I hope we wouldn't say, oh, it's too early to wake up. You know, I've been there. I'm still there sometimes. But how about before going to bed tonight, we say, Lord, tomorrow, draw me. Wake me up with a kiss. Wake me up with a warm embrace. And I can run after you. Lord, I want to give myself to fall more in love with you. Amen. Amen. Amen.